Welcome to the Christ Victorious Sermon Series podcast. Join us as we become disciples who know Christ to make Christ known.
For the month of June, we are doing something different. We are doing one-hit wonders. And so during these 4 weeks in June, we're tackling four books of the Bible that are one-hit wonders. They're only one chapter long. And so we're going to begin with the one that's closest to the table of contents, and that's in the Old Testament, that's Obadiah. So if you would grab your sermon note with me, the vision of Obadiah. This is what the Sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord, an envoy that was sent to the nations to say, "Rise, let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in clefts of rocks and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourself, 'Who can bring us down to the ground?' Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive you and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, those of understanding in the mountains of Esau? Your warriors, Teman, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down for slaughter. But because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On that day, you stood aloft while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem. You were like one of them. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march to the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity. In the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth. In the day of their disaster, you should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done it, so it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your head. Just as you drank in my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and be as they had never been. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy. And Jacob will possess its inheritance, his inheritance. Jacob will be a fire and Joseph a flame. Esau will be stubble and they will set him on the fire and destroy him. There will be no survivors from Esau. The Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israelite exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath, and exiles from Jerusalem who are in the Zarephath will possess the towns of the Negev. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, for the summer, in the month of June, we're doing one-hit wonders of the Bible. So various books of the Bible where there is one chapter and that's it. So it's not even a chapter, it's just verse 1, verse 2, and there we go. So that's what we're doing, and we're trying to, because not everybody reads these books, and that's kind of why we want to hit them, is because they're not that common. Obadiah and Jude and 2 John and 3 John and Philemon. So this week we have Obadiah, next week we'll have Philemon, and then we'll go on through the rest of the New Testament in these one-hit wonders. So I want to start with Obadiah. So Obadiah, in Obadiah there's a whole lot of stuff about justice. That's what we read about in here. We read about the justice of the sovereign Lord on Edom. And here's the thing. Everybody loves justice. We all love justice, at least as long as it applies to that guy, right? As long as it applies to somebody else and it's in my advantage. See, when somebody cuts us off in traffic, right, we hope they get pulled over because they deserve that, right? Or when a scammer gets arrested, we smile and we think, good, it's about time. Mom is safe for a while. Or when a team loses because during the whole game we've heard nothing but trash talking out of their mouths, and part of us, we think, oh, it serves them right that they lost. See, deep down we all long for a day when all of those wrongs are made right and justice finally wins. And that's exactly what the prophet Obadiah is talking about in these 21 verses. Obadiah is the shortest book of the Old Testament. It's only 21 verses, but it carries this huge message for everybody. Or if you know the reference, it's kind of a one-punch man of the prophets. One chapter, one punch, and everything changes. Obadiah. Now, the first thing that we need to know is that God's message, as we read through it, it seemed like that message was really specifically towards one people, the people of Edom, okay? Now, we need to understand something a little bit. If you just look through those first 14 verses, it speaks heavily of them, but the Edomites, they were descendants of Esau, okay? Jacob's brother. And as you know, if you know your Bible back in Genesis, there's been family tension since the day they were conceived inside of Rebekah. They were fighting the whole time. And so there's been centuries and centuries of strife between the people of Edom and the people of Israel, God's people. And when Jerusalem was attacked, Edom didn't help. They just stood in their fortresses that were there on the side and cheered. Woo! Go get them! And God says in verse 12, if you look at verse 12, it says, you should not gloat over your brother in his day of misfortune. But they did. And they watched and they rejoiced and they actually took advantage, just like the people that were attacking God's people. And so God announces judgment on them. But halfway through this book, the camera kind of zooms out, just like on a football field where they pull out. And what looked like a message that was only for this one specific team, the Edomites, now becomes a message for all of us. If you look at, I don't know what you can call the front side with a fist on there, the very first verse, this is kind of halfway through, and this is that key. Verse 15, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will be returned upon your own head. See, the spotlight now isn't just on that one team of Edomites. It's on everyone. It's on every nation. It's on every human heart. It's on us. It's on you. And the first sin that God really exposes here is the sin of pride. See, Edom, they lived on the mountains to the south of Jerusalem and to the east of Jerusalem. They lived in these fortresses that were carved out of caves and cliffs. They felt invincible. They felt untouchable. And their national slogan was basically, yo, come at me, bro. And God said, I got you. I'm coming. And if you look at verses 3 and 4 in your reading here, it says, this is God's response to that come at me, bro. He says, your pride has deceived you. You live in rocks and clefts. You make your home in these things, and you say to yourself, oh, who can bring us down? You soar like eagles. You make your nest among the stars. And here's God's answer. There I will bring you down. One punch. One punch and they're coming down. And if you're like me, then you imagine yourself standing there next to God going, yes, get him, God. You got him. Go. And Obadiah at that moment turns to you or me and says, actually, it's your turn to step into the ring. Because that one punch isn't just aimed at Edom, it's also aimed at you and me. Because the day of the Lord is for all nations. And suddenly we're not on the ringside, we're actually inside of the ring. We're in there. See, Edom's problem, it wasn't their geography, it was their self-confidence. But before we start pointing fingers back at Edom, we should check our own address, right? See, you and I, we might not live in mountain fortresses, but we build plenty of them. We build them out of our bank accounts. We build them out of our health, out of our accomplishments. We build them out of our reputations and out of our plans for the future. And we quietly tell ourselves to every situation that's going on in our lives, we say, oh, I got this. I got this. We're good. Until life reminds us that we don't have it. When that diagnosis arrives, or that relationship breaks, or that job disappears, or the funeral comes. And suddenly we discover how fragile our mountains truly are. And this is where Jesus is talking about. We sang about it as well. Matthew 7, he tells this parable about a wise man who's built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. That's right. Beachside is wonderful. Living along the coast. But everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, is like that man who builds his house on the rock. See, even though the foolish guy, he built a house, and it was probably amazing. It probably looked like this amazing mansion. And he probably thought that his house was solid and that it was invincible, but then the rains came and the floods came and the winds, they blew, and the foundation, in one punch, was revealed. See, the storm did not create the weakness. It merely revealed what was underneath all of it. It exposed it. And the day of the Lord, it does the same thing. With one punch, it reveals what each and every person is trusting all along. And Obadiah, he digs deeper into this. See, Edom's greatest sin, yes, it wasn't simply pride or self-confidence. It was actually the condition of their heart towards other people around them. See, they found joy in other people's suffering. Right? They stood back and watched Jerusalem and Judah just get smashed by everybody and went in to kind of help take them their own stuff out of there. And if we're honest, the temptation for you and me, it's not as foreign as we'd like to think. Think about it. Why do you think we love the Three Stooges, the Three Amigos, or the Three Left Behind movies? Or any kind of physical comedy. See, we love when stuff happens to other people because it's funny. Not only because it's not happening to us, but man, that looks like it hurts. And we do the same thing when we compare ourselves to other people around us. Because we like to think, well, I'm doing better than that guy. And sometimes we enjoy seeing the guy who irritated us fail a little bit. We even celebrate another person's downfall because it makes us feel a little bit better, a little bit taller. And this is where 1 John speaks into our lives directly. In 1 John chapter 2, he says this, "Do not love the world or the things of this world." John's not talking about the boundary waters or mountains or lakes or sunsets or baseball games. He's talking about a world who organizes around pride, about round self-interest, and this selfish desire. And he continues on in chapter 2. He says, "For all of everything that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not from the Father, but it's from this world." And that's Edom's problem. And it's your problem, and it's my problem too. We all fall into this. This uncomfortable truth of Obadiah is that the day of the Lord, that it's not just bad news for bad people, but it's bad news for sinners. Which means everybody. Which means me and you. But that also brings us to the best news. See, because throughout all the prophets, there's this, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. We even hear this in Revelation as well. And it's in that day, the day of the Lord, where God arrives to confront evil and establish his justice. And if that's the case, then the day of the Lord should terrify each and every person who's alive or ever has been or ever will be. Unless you remember what happened on a hill outside of Jerusalem. See, because in a very real sense, the day of the Lord arrived early at the cross. And here's where Christianity is different than every other religion. That punch that should have landed on us, it landed on Jesus. And all of the judgment of the day of the Lord, it arrived early when God threw that punch of judgment against pride and violence and selfishness and hatred and sin. That one punch when Jesus stepped in front of us. The same one who never gloated over his enemies as they mocked him. The one who never acted out of pride but was humiliated. The one who deserved only glory but received judgment. It's just like Isaiah says. He says, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Or as Paul writes, for our sake, God made him who knew no sin, who had no sin, to be sin for us. And that's why he came. Not because you and I can dodge a punch. Not because we could block it. Not because we could somehow train hard enough to survive that one punch. Because we can't. But he could. And so he took it for us. And this is where the cross is where God's justice and where God's mercy, where they meet together. See, God doesn't ignore evil. He deals with it completely, but he deals with it in his Son. And that means that Christians, that you and I, we don't wait for the day of the Lord with terror. We wait with hope. Because the judge who is coming is the same Savior who stretched out his hands on the cross for you and for me. And that's why. That's why Obadiah ends the way that he does. See, Obadiah ends not with destruction. He doesn't end with Edom. He doesn't even end with judgment. He ends with a kingdom. In verse 21, he says this, The deliverers will go up on the mountain to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. See, on Good Friday, Jesus got hit. Jesus got hit with our day of the Lord so that on our last day, we could be a part of his kingdom. Let me say that again. Jesus got hit on our day of the Lord so that on our last day we could be a part of his kingdom. And that's the surprise. That God wasn't just removing evil, but he's establishing his reign of peace. That he's gathering people from every tribe and every language and every nation all into his kingdom. That he's making all things new, including you. And the proud are humbled and forgiven. And enemies become family, and sinners become saints, and the judge become heirs. And when you remember Obadiah, if you take away one thing from today, remember one chapter and one punch. One punch that knocks pride off of its throne. One punch that exposes the sin that we hide. One punch that reminds us that evil will not last forever. And one punch that points us to Jesus, the one who took the punch that we deserve and rose again victoriously for you and for me. So that when the day of the Lord, when it comes, don't trust your mountain, don't trust your house, and don't trust yourself. Trust in the one who's still standing when the dust settles. Because when that final day comes, all who trust in him will discover that the last word was never judgment. The last word was always, and the kingdom shall be his. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. At this time, I invite you to confess with me about God's kingdom for you and me using the words of the Nicene Creed. So if you please stand, and let's confess our faith to one another and to the world using these words. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.